When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento. Sacramento.
Turner Sparks just got married and has moved home to America after 12 years living in China. Sir Michael Ira Kaplan has 2 kids, a wife, a job, and has spent his entire life in the USA. Neither one can figure their country out. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 60. My name's Turner Sparks.
I am Mr. Kaplan.
You can find me at Turner B. Sparks on Twitter. You can find Kaplan at K-A-P, Cap, in America on the podcast. Today, Cap, we have Jocelyn Chia, comedian Jocelyn Chia. Jocelyn, born in America, grew up in Singapore.
We're going to learn all about Singapore. For the 60th episode.
Why not find out about Singapore?
It's about time we got to Singapore. We're going like country by country. We're going to conquer the world.
We're doing it all.
And once we hit 193, I know what we do next.
She is a comedian here in New York City. I know she's a very successful stand-up comedian. She does TV. She does all the big clubs.
Yeah.
She's also... She's huge in Allentown, Pennsylvania. I'm going to Singapore to do comedy in late January, so maybe we can find out. I've been there before, a few years ago, but I'm going back. And we're also... Her and I are going to be on the same show, Crossing Paths in Thailand.
Oh, it's a great place to run into an old friend.
Exactly. Well, a new friend.
A new friend. Well, yeah. She'll be an old friend then.
By that point, she'll be an old friend. Oh, and the last thing, December 20th, she's going to do our show at the New York Comedy Club, the Kung Fu Comedy Show, with Joe Schaefer, Gus Tate, the whole crew.
Which I will not be there because by then I'll be so ashamed for my live podcast performance at all. It is tonight, people.
Tomorrow night. Yes, wait, tomorrow night. Oh, wait. It's tomorrow night. No, keep going. It's tomorrow night.
All right, I have 1 day left.
1 day left. November 30th, you guys have time to buy tickets. Stand Up New York, go to standupnewyork.com. Get your tickets. Tickets are actually, they're selling a ton of tickets.
They're selling like hotcakes.
It's going to be a full house.
I'm just going to say right now, the rest of this podcast, I'm going to turn it off. I don't want to build. I'm just going to be not funny because I don't want to build expectations.
Okay, that's forgivable.
Anybody who's listening this week, I want them to go into the live being like, why did I buy tickets for this? This guy's not funny at all.
Here's the other thing. I feel like we've put together like 25, 30 good shows in a row.
Yeah.
It's time to have a night off.
Yeah, this one will be the night off. I don't want the live one to be off.
Exactly. Okay,
I'm going to get a DNP. I'm Joel Embiid tonight. My knees are a little.
You're not even going to suit up.
I'm not even suiting up. I'm going to do.
Well, the problem is you can take a night off in the studio because there's no pressure. There's no audience. But you can't take a night off in front of a live audience.
I can't, right.
Plus, half these people at the show are going to be our fans. Half of them are going to be confused tourists who got called in from Times Square.
Do you like comedy?
These comedy clubs send people out to Times Square. And then they yell. They're like, "Hey, Louis C.K., David."
They're going to be expecting me to whip out my dick.
Yeah, they're all going to be on tonight. And then they get there and they see us.
Oh shit! All right, I'm going to start practicing.
So
my left hand move.
But wait, okay. So are you growing a mustache?
What do you mean?
Well, we're up last week.
I just shaved.
2,500 downloads.
Oh, do we have a bell that goes off for that?
Ding, 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 ding. We were said when we got to 1,500, you would grow a mustache.
Yeah.
So we blasted past it. Yeah, we didn't even stop at 1,500.
We didn't rest at 2,000.
We went from like 1,300 to 2,500.
Wow.
We're blasting.
How did that happen?
I don't know. The thing's catching on.
Can I have like an independent auditing firm look at those numbers to make sure before I grow the staff?
No, you cannot. You got to grow the mustache.
All right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to start. We decide. I'm just going to grow. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't want to promise 70s or whatever. We'll
Raleigh fingers?
Yeah, We'll just see. I
wax the ends.
How do I do it? Do I shave a couple times quickly so it starts growing faster, or I just let it go?
No, I think you drink milkshakes.
Milkshakes?
That puts hair on your chest. I don't know if it's on your face.
That didn't.
And then lemon juice. Don't they tell you to put lemon juice on your face?
I put lemon juice on my face. Just the mustache part.
Just the mustache part. And then then it'll come out blonde, so it'll look like a Hulk Hogan.
All right.
You got to do a Hogan. You should do a Hogan mustache.
All right. I'm an American hero.
Yeah.
Get the bandana.
Maybe we can get Hogan on for the pod.
Which downloads do we do where I start doing with the bandana and the...
bandana. Just wear it to work every day? 5,000 downloads?
Yeah. All right. Maybe.
Then you got to wear a bandana.
Hulk Hogan bandana.
The Hulk Hogan. And Hulk Hogan, what I liked about his mustache, it wasn't tight.
Right.
It was like shaggy. It was long.
Yeah.
Long blonde mustache.
It looked good in that sex tape.
It looked good in the Hogan sex tape. And then, okay, Weber. Last thing we got to talk to before we get to Lost America. Weber's movie. Are we still, where are we at? Because he's not coming to our live show. But his movie comes out this weekend. Yeah. I don't know. Should we go see it? Should we not see it?
I'm going to make an announcement here. I broke bread with Weber. I've made peace.
What?
Well, here's what happened. I have some sources, and they told me that Weber was thinking about disrupting our live show. He was going to storm in at the end. He was going to be a nuisance.
Like a Royal Rumble.
Yeah, there was rumors of that. So I called him up. I said, we got to put bygones by bygones. We got to come to a peace.
You called him?
Oh, wait, no, I didn't do that.
He came to your table or you go to his table?
I didn't call him up, but I called him up to threaten him and said, do not come to our show.
Good.
What I said.
Okay.
So I said,
Do not come.
I said, do not come to our show. We don't want you.
Well, Blue Shirt's going to be on the premise. We
have the writers
with a lawsuit
from
right away.
Me and Dupree, whatever that movie is. They're coming.
Okay.
And then he said, he reached out. He said, come. So he had a screening of his movie. I went to see it. Much like Mitt Romney.
Wait, what? Slow down. You've already seen his movie?
I've seen The Disaster Artist. It's really funny.
Is
it's
it
really
good?
Great. People should go see it.
God damn it. I want to see it.
Yeah, you got to see it. You should pay for it, too.
Okay, so
we've come around. We've made peace. He's assured me the next live pod, he will be there. He will cancel any movies.
Okay.
The movie's good. So, yeah, the feud's over.
Wait, I'm still... So, how's it over? You saw his movie. He bought you bread, I'm hoping? You didn't pay for
it
his?
It was free
movie?
Screening.
And he paid for
it. They had good little sliders at the screening.
Okay.
They had top shelf liquor.
He got you drunk?
Yes.
He got you drunk?
Yeah.
And bribed you with sliders?
I called the dogs off. Because we've got Armenians.
Did he apologize at least?
He apologized. The Armenians have been coming after him on social media. I don't know if you've been.
Armenians?
Armenians have been. They've been doing our.
The loser? Are we calling our audience, are they losers, these Lost America fans, or are they Americans?
They're Americans. Our Americans.
Our Americans.
Our real American heroes.
Okay, our real American heroes.
They were coming after him on social media.
Good.
So
he felt the pressure.
He felt the pressure.
And much like Louis C.K. apologized in the New York Times for masturbating for women, he apologized to you. For not coming to our live show.
It was every bit just like Lucy K.
Yeah. So we're telling, so now what? It was a good movie. We're telling people to go see the movie.
It's come to our live show. If you've come to our live show and bought tickets to our live show, you should then go see Weber's movie.
Go see his movie. Okay.
And yeah, the movie's fantastic. James Franco.
Kills it.
Kills it.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Are we still going to give away old fake DVDs of his movie?
Fuck, what are we going to do with all those? We got a lot of them.
Yeah, we got a lot. We'll still give them
away. Wait, can we sell them back?
If we find him, we'll give him out at the beginning of our live show.
How much do you think the guys at Chinatown will buy him back for us?
I don't think they will.
Discount. So come to the... We need you guys
come
to come to
the live
to the
show.
Yeah, we need that money.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. I think we've settled some business here. Should we get to Lost America?
Let's get to it.
Lost in America. Play the music. We're back. De'Aaron Roots, shout out. Love the music. Kaplan, I'm lost in America this week.
Aren't you always?
I am, but this week I'm extra lost. And I'll tell you why, because I went to a part of America for the very first time that's not America. It's Flushing, Queens. It's the Chinatown that everyone says is the real Chinatown in New York. When you come to actual Chinatown, it's that. First of all, that's Cantonese, right? That's like the people from Hong Kong moved there a long time ago. But the mainland Chinese people now, they all moved to Flushing, Queens. It's out near where the Mets play.
Yeah.
Because it's cheaper to live there. So they've developed their whole own Chinatown out there. So it took Ye and I 2 hours to get there.
Would you take the
We took the subway.
Oh, Jesus.
You have to go all the way into Manhattan, come all the way back out.
Yeah, I mean.
So we get out there. It's very China. It's way more China than either one of us was expecting. Yeah, as I say. It's because it's not like Shanghai. It's not modern China. What's weird is these people move from China to America, but then they want to live in a place that's crappier than where they came from in China.
They're living like in the China of the 70s or something?
They are. They're living or like the central, like old school China, not like the cool, hip Shanghai, Suzhou,
Beijing.
They want
to get away from there. So,
but when, why not? So
they're living in a pre-Mr. Softy China.
A very pre-Mr. Softy China. So first thing, we get out there, a couple observations. I walk into the stores, restaurants. I'm speaking Chinese to everyone speaks Chinese. I'm walking to stores. I'm speaking Chinese to everyone. No one's impressed that I can speak Chinese.
Right.
Which is also what happens when you go to like little villages in China.
They expect you to speak Chinese.
They've never met someone who doesn't speak Chinese. So they just assume everyone in the world speaks Chinese. So no one's excited. I go to the bathroom.
Did you know anything when you were going? Like, did you do research or you're just going to like drop in?
Just going to drop in.
Okay.
So anyway, we get there. I go to the bathroom in this food court. This is one thing that really brought me back to China. There's a grandma, like IE is what they call it, but that's like the lady who works there, like the cleaner, you know?
Bathroom attendant?
Not a bathroom. She's like mopping.
Okay.
They're always mopping.
There's a lot of mopping.
A lot. Never sweeping. That's just like
key element of communism, I think, because you have to always have people mopping.
A lot of mopping and never with soap in the mop.
Right, because you'd be too efficient that way, right?
It's just pure water.
Yeah, just
and then if they want to wipe down the mirror, they don't use like a towel or a rag. They use newspaper.
How does that help?
Like today's newspaper. They get Windex and then they scrape it with
there's
newspaper.
A guy cleaning up in the end studios here right now. You might have to give him some of these tips. But
I will. So it's a person mopping men's bathroom. And then here's the other thing. It's always a grandma.
In the bathroom.
In the men's bathroom is always an old lady with like a Tyler Sparks haircut, a little short haircut.
So post a picture for that.
And she's mopping around you as you're pissing at the urinal.
They don't leave. So in China, that's how it is.
That is how it is in China. It's also how it is in Flushing,
you know,
Queens.
In America, usually they like if it's they'll be like, anyone in there? No one's in here. I'm gonna go work.
No thought of that. It's like one, but it's only the old ladies. It's like once you get past the age of like 55, you're asexual.
Right. Right. So every old Chinese lady's been Louis C.K.'d. They've all had, but you know,
but like voluntarily. They do it for a living. They get paid to get Louis C.K.'d.
Paid to look at dicks.
Yes. And I think it's like they have this idea that once you pass a certain age, you're like, you're asexual. Once you go through menopause, maybe you get a short haircut, you wear like sweatpants and a sweatshirt, flower print, hopefully.
Okay.
And then you just storm into men's restrooms and just mop around them.
So if you're a hot 55 year old, it's probably not the best job, but you know, guys are going to.
If you're a hot 55 year old, you're not doing that anyway. you're married to a rich guy somewhere. You probably don't have to work.
This is a great. Okay, go on.
Next. This is also how I knew it was China. A black guy talked to me.
What?
Just like on the side, in the middle of the street, for no apparent reason. Like some
are there
other
black guys in China? I don't.
We see these people are crossing the street. A car doesn't stop at the intersection; just tries to blast through them when they're in the crosswalk.
Okay, Chinese another driver.
Very China thing. Chinese driver thing. And no one thought it was weird except for me and this black guy on the other side of the street.
Okay.
And so he looks at me and he's like, whoa, did you just see that? He yells out across the street to me because Yaya caught it too. We both caught it. This would happen in China all the time. Anyone who's not Chinese will just immediately.
Same team.
Yeah, you're same team. You see the other person who's also not Chinese and you immediately relate to them. Like, we're the only people. One, Yaya's like, well, I think he probably thought you're the only person who spoke English.
Right.
And so, and then you're also the only person who might have thought that was weird that this car almost hit all these people and didn't slow down or care.
This gives you a great, like, you know, there's team building exercises for companies.
Yes.
They should take people, especially if they don't get along, and take them to either China or Flushing, whichever's easier.
Yeah.
And have them, because then you're like, you're on the same side. Like, we should take the Israelis and the Palestinians, put us on different sides of the street, and just. Boom.
If you put them in rural China, they would be best friends.
There's a peace deal immediately.
Yeah. And you bond over how weird the other people are.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at.
It worked very well in China, and then that was odd when you come back to America, and there's like this race separations, because there is, but it's two. It's Chinese or other. And everyone else. So anyway, Int
is a sauce.
Is a sauce. Breaking news. Breaking news. Cap, what is it?
We just walked out for a meeting with the Int crew, with Ikram and the boys.
Upstairs.
And Ikram's sitting there mixing mixing a pot.
He's got a chef's hat on.
And I see he's ladling it into these little bottles. They have a thing called Speak Saucy, hot sauce with hot messages.
Int sauce.
It's Int has their own sauce.
And everyone knows that the technology business and the hot sauce business go hand in hand.
They're sister. They're very
so
complimentary.
Int is a sauce. Int is also an app.
Yeah.
And we have someone inting us in today, a very special person. You know him from pod number 4. You know him from the man who runs Int. You know him from upstairs, Ikram Magdan Ismail. Inting us in. Play the ints.
Play the ints.
So this is a question for the community. If Bitcoin or Ethereum or one of these cryptocurrencies becomes the de facto way to pay for everything everywhere, let's say, I don't know, 25 years from now, does that mean the people that don't have any will be required to work for Ethereum, Bitcoin, or any of the cryptocurrencies that are widespread? And then what does that mean for those people? Like, they'll basically have to do any labor to attain crypto, which is probably what happened with money back in the day. And if you really think about it, it's the billionaires that control Bitcoin right now, and a few people that mined it early on because it was a fad and they predicted it. But what happens? What happens?
All right. Thank you, Ikram. Cap, do you have any opinions on Bitcoin? Do you know what Bitcoin is?
I have no idea what Bitcoin is. People keep asking me about Bitcoin, and I don't.
All right,
I think I know because I'm Jewish. I know about money. I do not know Bitcoin. We don't know
Bitcoin
that.
Is an app. No, yeah. I don't know what Bitcoin is.
Is it a sauce?
No, it's not a sauce. It's not an app. So that's all. Bitcoin is like, it's this international. You know how they tried to make that language a long time ago that everyone, the whole world could speak the same language?
Yeah, I skipped that. I speak English.
Yeah, yeah. You stuck with English and then you let the world come to you.
Exactly.
So Bitcoin is that, but for money. They're trying to create this currency where you can use it anywhere in the world. The problem is they say it's worth 10,000 units right now or something. But you can't use it anywhere. You think I can go, like if I'm in China, I can go into a shop and pay in Bitcoin? They're gonna
How
be like,
do you
no,
haggle?
Get the F out of here.
There's no haggling there.
There's no haggling except cash.
Yeah, cash.
Maybe credit cards.
Venmo.
If I'm doing a comedy show, if someone wants to tip at the end of the show, I have to pay. They're not gonna be. I'm not gonna accept Bitcoin.
They can't. There's nothing physical you can hand, right? There's no like card.
It's like the cloud. Everyone's like, put it in the cloud. I'm like, guess what? Who? So Julian Assange can hack into it. Yeah. You can get your Bitcoin stealing so quick. The dark web.
I mean, if
they're gonna take
I'd
it.
Rather put my money in Eagles jerseys because, like, that seems more valuable.
That's hard currency.
That's proved to age well. If Ikram wants to buy one off me before the Super Bowl, what am I gonna take Bitcoin?
No.
I don't even know how I would do that. If a bar, you can't.
I guess on one hand, yes, it can take over the world, and then we're all slaves to the 7 people who own Bitcoin right now. On the other hand, it's nothing.
Yeah, I think I'll hedge and I'll sell my baseball cards, and I'll put them in some Bitcoin.
That's a good idea.
Because the Bitcoin's definitely worth more than my baseball cards long term, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anything's worth. Well, no, at least but I disagree because at least your baseball cards, if they're worth nothing, at least you can burn them for heat.
Oh, you're right.
Bitcoin, you can't do anything.
Right.
It's absolutely nothing. So I say is no.
Art.
Bitcoin is not the future. This is going to be on freezing cold takes very soon.
Yeah. I heard it today. It's going to 40,000 in like a year.
40,000 what?
Dollar for like a Bitcoin. I don't know.
Yeah, but only if you can get it.
I think we should ask our listeners to answer some. There are some thoughts on this because you know we don't know what we're talking about.
No,
really. That's what I'm hearing here.
Well, so the show's called Bitcoin. Lost in America. We're not supposed to know what we're talking about.
All right, so don't explain too much to us. But we'll be very lost if we're totally broke and we have overlords looking at us 25 years from now.
That's true.
Take off.
All right. Well, once we get to 1 million downloads, they'll pay us in Bitcoin. We'll be good. All right, let's get to our guest.
Bring her in,
Jocelyn Chia. Come on in. All right, we're back with our guest, Jocelyn Chia. Jocelyn, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I don't know your full story, so I wanted to save it sort of for the podcast. I know that we're both going to be around Southeast Asia in January. Possibly, we might meet up for a show. I don't know. Where are you going to be?
I'm doing a show in Bangkok.
Oh, you are doing it?
Yeah, I'm doing it.
Oh, awesome. Okay, cool. So we are doing a show together.
We are doing a show together. Yeah, I'm opening for Turner Sparks.
There you go. Hey. January 28th, I think.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So what are you doing? So first of all, you're from Singapore originally, correct?
Sort of. I mean, it's a bit more complicated. I was technically born here.
Oh, okay.
But I grew up in Singapore. My parents shipped me back when I was 3 weeks old. I didn't even know you could do that to a 3-week-old baby. That's
insane. Did they go with you?
Wait, you were three?
I was three.
They
3 weeks?
Yeah, they shipped me via FedEx.
Yeah, yeah. They sent you in.
Are your parents from Singapore, though, originally?
They are, yeah. My whole family is.
Were they born? Was they were living here, and then after, and then they like got a job to go
so
back.
So they're
to
actually
Singapore?
Only just studying here. So they were here for a year, and they were already married for 7 years, no kids. And when they came here for grad school, they were like, "Well, let's make an American baby." Oh, yeah. And so they did.
Wow!
Now you can be president.
Now I can be president.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I do. They're both Singaporean, but my sister lives in Berlin now.
Okay.
Yeah, she's a DJ.
Ooh. Wow, nice. We should get her on the pod.
My parents are very disappointed.
Oh, yeah.
No, DJ and a comedian?
DJ and a comedian.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of my kids, which would be worse if they told me they want to be a DJ or a comedian. They're both low on what I'd
do. On the things that you would want them to do?
Yes. It's not doctor, lawyer, DJ, comedian.
We're like doctor, lawyer, Uber driver, DJ, comedian.
Yeah, definitely.
What about which one gets more respect, like, when you tell people at like family reunions or whatever, that like, they like, which one do people think is more real, DJ or comedian?
Possibly DJ, because
more real than comedian.
We don't really have a stand-up comedy thing in Singapore. Like, the stand-up scene is very new, so I didn't even grow up with stand-up comedy in Singapore. I never even heard of it, so I think people don't even know what it means.
But there's DJs.
Whereas a DJ, you can hear for yourself.
But like birthday party DJs or like DJs like trance. Everybody does a bunch of ecstasy. Those
yeah, my sister's the cool DJ. But yes, you have the
like
birthday
one
party.
Headphone in, one out.
Yeah, one headphone in, ecstasy in the other year.
In New York, you can do both. By the way. I've been to kids' parties with DJs, kids' DJs that are like, they look like they also have a job doing that. They're like the same look.
Oh, really? Yeah, I guess you got to make money.
You got to make money. It's like when you're doing like wedding singer. But
you got to be up late at night and you just stay up for the kids' birthday. Yeah.
No,
you need the same drugs to get through both. So
I would say. So are you a Singaporean citizen?
American citizen.
Not. You can't be both.
You can't be both. Singapore doesn't let you have both. So I had both until 21.
That.
You respect that? I think it's bullshit. It's Singapore's idea,
No, it's
too.
Like pick one. What? We're not good enough?
Yeah, Singapore's not really, like, I mean, compared to America, you're such a small country. If someone has an American citizenship, do you really expect an American to give up American citizenship to be the citizen of this 5 million-person country?
Well, no. Definitely not. But I like the idea that that countries are like, they have such self-worth.
Self-worth.
Yeah. Right. They're like, what? Yeah, it shows confidence. Exactly.
So
that's
Singapore
my
is like the girl who dates with self-esteem. She's like, no, I don't believe that you should be dating a whole bunch of people. I'm good enough that you can commit to just me.
100%. That's my point.
Got it.
I think it's good. So, okay, but then not good specifically for you.
Right, not
but
good for me.
As a concept, it's great. So then you don't. So what happens when you go to Singapore? Do you have a...
I use my fucking American passport.
Oh, yeah, you can get...
I go
to
the American line, the non-citizen line.
Got it.
Yeah. Right. And I speak to them in Singlish, and they get all fucked up.
Wait, Singlish. Yeah, explain what that is.
So Singapore English, basically. I mean, have you been to Singapore?
I have.
You have? All right.
Taxi drivers speak like that.
Yeah, I think everyone speaks like that except the really pretentious ones. Like now I'm speaking with a more, slightly more American intonation because of you guys.
Yeah.
But if I was with a Singaporean, I'll totally lapse into Singlish. And it's hard to give a demonstration if you're not speaking Singlish, but I'll try. I'm like, hey, tomorrow you want to go to McDonald's or not?
Yeah! Now I know what it is. I was trying to think of what it was.
It's more of an accent, really.
No, yeah, but it is like, because when I was living in China, I lived in this city called Suzhou that has a Suzhou Industrial Park, which used to be called the Singapore Industrial Park.
Correct, yeah. I heard the China government really gypped Singapore.
Wow. This is we got to cut that out. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, they did. So Singapore designed this neighborhood where I ended up living for 12 years. And then somewhere along the way, they were supposed to split the tax revenue with China.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they put in all the infrastructure, all the schools, buildings, roads. And then they were going to split the tax revenue. And then the minute they, like, built everything, China just booted them out.
I know,
China's
right?
It's like a mafia family. They just, like, comes up. That's a great move
yes,
by them.
So now you're getting
shady.
It. but a bunch of Singaporeans live there.
Oh, still?
They did early on when I was there. And I guess, like, stayed, like, maybe to run businesses or whatever. Mm. And that's, now I remember that accent.
So they spoke with that. That's how they go to McDonald's.
100%. Yeah.
That's amazing how China just got away with this. I guess when you have that might, you can get away with anything. Just break contracts. Who gives a shit?
Well, I guess we kind of did that to the British. They sort of set up America... And then we're like, yeah, get out of here. Like, it's always tricky when you're setting something up on another person's land, right? I'm not saying it was right, what the right thing to do was. But
you're not in favor of the American...
I am in favor of America.
The least controversial war that I can think of.
The least controversial. You're right, I'm not going to take a stand on the Revolutionary War.
There were good people on both sides.
There were good people on both sides. So, okay. And then, but then you grew up basically in Singapore, or no?
I did. Back grew and forth. Up in Singapore until college. And came out for college.
College. So how was that? You said there was no comedy when you grew up. No,
no
stand-up.
Not at all. I never no saw laughter. Stand-up until maybe my mid-20s. Yeah, no laughter. It was just caning all the time.
Is wait. That allowed in Singapore, laughter, or no?
Some rules on only in the privacy of your own home.
Oh, okay. Wait, so, because I always wanted to get caned once.
You've always wanted to get caned?
Once.
Well, how many downloads is that?
It's one of our exactly. challenges. Yeah, that is. That's one of our challenges. If we get to 500,000 downloads.
Yeah.
On this podcast in 1 week, I promise I get Kane once.
How many do you have now?
2,500.
Yeah, so I have to grow a mustache. We just announced today that I'm growing a mustache.
And he's going
to
get it.
I said we'd do that if we went to hit 1,500, which we just hit and went flying over it. So I got to grow like a 70 stash.
So we're blasting up. If we get to a million, he's going to get a tattoo, which means he won't be allowed to be buried in a Jewish cemetery.
Really? Yeah. Oh, you can't get buried in a Jewish cemetery if you have a tattoo?
Right.
That's pretty strict.
Yeah, well, yeah, unless you know how to bribe the guy. Or you give enough money to the cemetery. I think there's loopholes. Or if you're a famous podcaster.
If we're getting
like,
a million downloads,
right, if
we'll
you're
have
a
the
podcaster
money.
With a million downloads, they want you in their cemetery.
Exactly.
So there's juice for you, right? Money talks.
Yeah, exactly. I've worked it out.
So that was the problem, though. There didn't seem to be, when I was there, a way to just get one caning. You know, it was either like...
Here's one of one caning.
Because like, my whole like theory has always been that like, if you get a tattoo, like tattoos are out. Those are done. You know what I mean? Tattoos used to be cool when, like, sailors got them. And then, like, everyone went on spring break and they got, like, a Cabo tattoo on their ankle to remember Cabo. And that's no longer a story. Like, oh, I got it because I can remember, so I can remember something. But, like, what's better to remember than, like, a big old scar of a cane? Like, you know what I mean? On your back.
Does it leave a scar?
That's a way better story to tell.
Do they do the same? Is it the same, like, power each time you're caned? Or
no, I don't know.
Yeah. It's just...
So... I don't know how true this is, but when I was in school, we were taught this is what the caning procedure was.
This is what I wanted. This is what I want to hear.
This is what we were taught. I don't know whether they were just scaring us or it was for real, but my teacher, whom I do respect, my history teacher said this. So this is what happens. They get a professionally trained caner.
Oh, right.
Who has been martially arts trained to dip the cane in, I think it's hydrochloric acid. Like, apparently some sanitizer, but it sounds horrible. Sanitized.
This is going downhill.
You don't get an infection when you're
caning. You don't get an infection when you're getting caned. Yeah, we're very humane about the caning. We make sure you do not get an infection. And he'll dip it in this, I think it was hydrochloric acid, and then he'll cane you, and then the second stroke will be not at the same spot, so you'll get different lashes. But I guess it'll be like more inhumane if you cane the exact same
more
spot.
More of a surface caning.
Right.
As opposed to, they don't stick at one spot and go deep.
Yeah, they
kind of like,
go deep, yeah.
It graze the surface.
But it's not based on your crime.
It can split the skin. It left Michael Faye scars, the American guy that got caned.
I remember him. He's our most famous caney.
The most famous caney.
Until I come along.
How many downloads did he get? One cane stroke.
He got like nine or something.
No,
and
he
then...
got four. It was six, but we reduced it to four.
How many downloads did his podcast get?
That was pre-podcasting. So that was, for anyone who doesn't know, that kid was in like the mid-90s. He was the son of a diplomat or something,
yeah, he was
right?
Only 18, I think.
And he lived in Singapore, and then he spray painted a car, right?
It was actually a bunch of people. I don't know why he became the scapegoat. Like a whole bunch of them.
Because
maybe
it was they bullshit.
Made him the scapegoat because he was the diplomat.
No, because like Clinton tried to Clinton bargained it down, right?
Clinton tried to get it removed,
which
completely.
Is ridiculous.
Trump would have got it removed. He's proven that.
Trump would have gone to
he did. Got he got Lonzo Ball's kids out of jail.
Yeah,
he would out of China.
Better negotiator than Clinton.
Oh, Trump got some kids out of China jail?
Yeah, because his brother's on the Lakers.
Some college basketball players were over in China last week from UCLA, and they did some shoplifting. Correction, by the way, it was sunglasses, not handbags like we said on the podcast.
Oh, they stole...
They stole some sunglasses, and then they were going to go to jail. And I mean, they weren't going to go to jail. I'm sure they were going to let him out as like a...
They were in jail overnight.
They were in like a...
And they were facing 6 months, according to Trump, but actually that's true, because I have a friend.
No, Trump said they were facing 7 to 10 years.
Oh, yeah, that's wrong.
But they were actually facing like 6 months.
Yeah.
But then I got them to release him, and then on Twitter, he went on a whole thing, and they didn't say thank you. And He should have left them in jail because they didn't say thank you.
Are you serious?
It was the dumbest argument. It was this kid's dad who's basically, we talked about it last week, but he's basically like the Kardashian mom of basketball.
He's sort of the Trump also of basketball parents.
He is. Yeah, so, him and Trump arguing with
really
each other.
There's really no good
guys
in this story.
Yeah. Anyway, so this kid got caned. What did they think about that in Singapore? Because in my head, like, even when I was a kid, I was like, if this kid's going to like go spray paint, like break the rules in another country, you should have to deal with the law of that country.
You know, that's so interesting. The Americans that I knew were pro him getting the punishment that was meted out in the country. Like, exactly your point of view. My point of view was, this is bullshit. The punishment should fit the crime. If you injure someone's property, then the punishment should be property-based, so a fine or money, right? You don't inflict bodily harm for inflicting harm on an inanimate object. But I've always had like this strong sense of justice. That's why I became a lawyer. So I was like, this is bullshit. I was like, I was like, this is bullshit. The punishment should fit the crime.
Oh, yeah.
They should spray painted him.
Right, you should spray paint him on his boxer shorts.
Yeah. Just spray paint him in front of his diplomatic family.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Like, rapists get caned. That's fair and square, right? But how can you have the punishment
well,
for rape?
Get raped. Just,
I mean, you can't rape. Which
with
you also do in jail,
with
yeah.
With the caning stick.
Yeah.
Rape with a cane.
Right, that's what I was getting at. If like the cane is different based on the crime, like if it's a rape, do you get a harsher cane?
Maybe you get the
painting?
Same
you just
spot.
Get more
yeah, the same spot.
Yeah, the same spot.
No grazing.
Until right. It hits your bone, Buster.
Cane Harvey. That'd be...
Cane.
Harvey Weinstein?
Yeah,
that'd
no
be a good
kidding.
Idea.
Oh, he'd get like a million.
That, I don't know.
Well, okay, so you didn't get caned. You escaped, no canings.
I got away cane-free, yeah.
Is that that's something that anyone talks about in Singapore, or is it just a big, like, international thing that people always want to talk about?
You know, the only time we ever talked about was during the caning incident, well, during the Michael Faye incident. After that, my aunt was part of the drive to get caning as a punishment for rapists. Like, for a while, they weren't getting caned, and then my aunt is a lawyer.
Wait, they weren't getting caned for rape, but they were
for... exactly, yeah, I know. That's how ridiculous this nonsense is, right? They were not getting caned for rape, but they were getting caned for vandalism.
What were they getting for rape?
Jail.
Oh, all right. What would you... Yeah.
An HBO special. Comedy special. Yeah.
The caning was in addition to the jail.
Right.
So then... Okay, so then you were a lawyer?
Yeah, I was.
In America or in Singapore?
In America, right here
oh,
in
because you went to school... Where'd you go to college?
Indiana.
Indiana, makes sense.
No, really? No, I just suck at life choices, that's
and
all.
And you studied law there?
No, I went to college there, and then law school was D.C.
Yeah.
What kind of law?
When you study law, there's no specialization, but I practice corporate law.
And you still do now?
No.
So was that what you wanted to, like, so what led from law... Did you always want to do comedy? Or you said you didn't even know they didn't even have comedy?
I didn't know what it was. Yeah, I only saw... the first time I saw a good comedy show was Aziz Ansari. It was already in my 30s when I saw a comedy. Like, that was actually funny.
Oh, that's like recently.
Yeah. And that's when I started comedy.
Well, how long ago?
Your parents were so happy you're a lawyer to go back to...
That's what I was going
to
say.
So proud.
Yeah, yeah, especially against like with your sister being a DJ and you're a lawyer.
I know. I was like the one shining model child in the family. And then, oh, sorry, I'm a comedian.
How did that conversation go?
Ooh, not well. I don't think I ever had the conversation with my mom. Like, my dad had to tell her on my behalf because she's going to take it that badly.
Okay. What's the strategy? Like, get him drunk first?
No.
Or have your sister play a cool tune. Drop a beat. No. Explanation.
Or have my sister get pregnant out of wedlock and then be, oh, by the way, I'm
also
a comedian.
She has to get worse. Or you're just like, okay, good news and bad news. The good news... No, it's good news. Like, I'm not a DJ. That's what I would start out with.
Yeah,
don't worry.
I'm not a DJ.
I'm not getting caned.
I'd be like, all right, here's the good news, parents. I found my passion. More good news is not to be a DJ.
I'm not a DJ. But the bad news, I'm also not a lawyer. Yeah. Somewhere in the middle.
Somewhere in the middle.
Somewhere between. So when did you quit law?
So I left the law in 2009, but I did other stuff. I was an entrepreneur. I did management consulting, actually technically called innovation consulting, but it's very, very much like McKinsey and BCG, just in the innovation space.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, that's complete gibberish.
What does that mean?
That means you do PowerPoint and Excel spreadsheet all day until your eyes go blue, and then your client will use what you gave them to pass on to the higher ups and just to make them seem like they're doing something.
That sounds awesome. How do I get paid for that?
No.
Wait, so why did you want to come back to America? Because you then grew up in Singapore. Did you like living in Singapore?
It was good and bad. I mean, the safety was good. It was fairly enjoyable. But, you know, it's actually a bit of a fish out of water. And my good friend in high school actually said it when she came to visit me in America. She goes, wow, you know, in Singapore, you're always a little bit like a fish out of water. Because I was very rebellious by Singapore standards.
What did that mean?
She chewed bubble gum on
I chewed bubble gum and I spat in my teacher's face.
That's rebellious here, too. You're spitting in your teacher's face.
And then I go, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy?
How? In what ways were you rebellious?
Just in the way of I would question my teachers. I wouldn't take what they said as the gospel truth. I always had my own mind. I was a free thinker. Like, an independent thinker, I guess. Like, I wouldn't just get brainwashed and just be fed what I was told to believe and just believe it. Like, no, I always questioned things and spoke out. So I was very outspoken. I was very American.
Yeah, that sounds, or at least what we used to be. But yeah. I don't know. So what is it like in Singapore? What's schooling like?
Well, I went to a local school. So you could go to an American school, but I didn't. My parents sent me to a local school. And I went to a Chinese school too, a St. Nicholas Girls School. And So when I say Chinese school, I mean there are some schools that are more westernized, like Raffles Girls' School or Methodist Girls' School. They'll be a bit more westernized, maybe a bit more encouraging of independent thought. But mine was a more Chinese in their value system. So they would teach us, like our classrooms were named virtues. So if you're in grade one, you'll be one virtue or one purity or one steadfast or one grace. Like, it was just dumb.
Did they say harmonious a lot? Harmonious. That's what they always said when I was in China. We're creating a harmonious society.
Oh yeah, exactly. Like, but part of harmony is that you can't really disrupt anything. You can't really be independent. You can do your own thing. Everyone has to follow the line.
It's a code word for like, don't fuck with us.
Exactly.
Just like do what you're told and keep going.
Do what you're told.
Schools in America, I guess, send my kids to.
Yeah, I feel like your kids could use a little more harmony.
A little more Chinese.
I also felt like this is what I want to talk to you about. To me, Singapore is the United States of Asia, and I'll explain why. First of all, there's like a bunch of different cultures there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't happen most countries in Asia. It's just whatever that country is,
right?
It's Vietnamese people in Vietnam, Chinese people in China. But what do you have in Singapore? It's
Malay,
like a mix.
Chinese, Indian, Caucasian. I think those are the main four: Malay, Indian, Chinese, Caucasian. Yep, four.
The Caucasian was the most surprising.
By the way, it wasn't comfortable for me for the longest time. Still a little bit weird to call you guys white people. Like, we called them Caucasians.
Oh,
like,
really?
We were polite.
Yeah. Really?
Calling someone by their color is so weird. Like, yeah. And black people, African-American, well, if they were American.
Right.
Well, now it's
you
like you're not...
people Caucasians and when you're in Asia, you mean?
No, I didn't, but maybe in Singapore.
In Singapore, we just call them Caucasian. We never say white people. It's something very derogatory to call them by their color.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's complimenting you calling me a Jew a Caucasian. That sounds awesome.
It's a step up for Kaplan.
Yeah, step up.
We're going to get into a country club next week.
It is true. Well, no, because when I left America, when I grew up, you would say black people. Mm-hmm. And then when I left, as I was leaving, it was like, no, you say African American. Now that I'm back, you say black people
again.
Oh,
is that right?
So I don't
say people of color.
No. Oh yeah, no, that's everybody. That's everybody. But so Caucasian, yeah, we never in America we never really said Caucasian though.
You
right?
say Caucasian, huh? Maybe it's too long. You guys are lazy. You're like, oh, white's good enough.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think anyone complains.
But then you don't call Caucasians yellow. Why is that so?
I don't know because in China
racist.
They do.
Because that's racist, but well, calling you white isn't.
Yeah, you're right. I agree with you. But
I'm saying society.
Listen, we don't make the rules. Yeah. You think we're the ones who decide what to call Asian people in America?
Oh no, Turner, I thought you had that much power.
Yeah, once this podcast,
how many downloads did we get when we start changing the language?
So we decide what you call them. No, in China, like you do, like Chinese people call themselves yellow.
Oh, they do.
Well, they'll be like, oh, your skin's white, my skin's yellow. Very matter of fact.
Right.
You know, my wife can sometimes still say that, but like.
Oh, your wife is Asian?
My
She's
wife's Chinese.
Chinese. Oh, okay.
Yeah. But
it gives me street cred.
It gives me street cred. Yeah.
Only in China.
Only in China.
Here you
They
just
do.
Typical.
They do like it. That's the first question I got when I lived there from like older, when you meet older Chinese, like grandmas and grandpas.
What's the first question you get?
Do you have a Chinese wife?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, you live here? Yeah. Is your
so
wife
you
Chinese?
Speak Chinese?
I do.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Hey, Caucasian, do you have a yellow wife?
Hey, Caucasian, do you have a yellow wife? That's awesome.
Wow, so that was uncomfortable to say.
Yeah, it was a little weird. I kept calling them Caucasian like my first 2 years in college. Like, Caucasian people.
Is anyone get upset with that? I don't think so.
That was very like quixotic.
And what about Malaysian people? Because I know when I went there, you always learn about places. When you do comedy, I'm sure it's the same for you. Like, you learn, or at least I did, whenever you're traveling to a new country, you learn about like the relations there based off of like stand-up shows.
Yeah.
Because like I'm in like Malaysia and they're like, oh, in Singapore, they're talking about like all the rich people in Singapore. And then we do comedy in Singapore, they talk about like all the people
All the lazy people.
All the
Malaysia.
Lazy people in Malaysia, right?
You can say that.
Yeah, I was gonna say like dirty. But they do. They'll be like, it's gross. I went to Malaysia, and then like punchline. I don't know what the punchline is.
You know, here's the interesting thing about stand up in America versus Singapore. So in America, you have to be a lot more politically correct. Like, you can't really, like, a white person cannot go up and do a stereotype on a black person that paints them in a negative light. But in Singapore, they still let you do that. I don't know why that's the case.
Yes,
I mean, you can't say anything too bad about the government because then the government might clamp you up. But yeah, you say whatever you want against the other races.
Yeah, and it's the same like Hong Kong. I don't know if you've been there.
Oh, Hong Kong is that way too.
Exactly the same.
Huh. This is why Turner kills in Asia. He's got all this.
Most of my jokes are racist.
He just goes up there. So you're a headliner in Asia, huh? That's awesome.
Yeah, I started out there.
Oh, okay.
And you started comedy here?
I started here, yeah. So I have to go back as an opener.
Wow. For me, all my racist jokes.
I'll do my smart PC stuff, and then you can kill them with your racist
flip off my hack racism. I'll be like, so what country are we in? Singapore. Oh yeah, those stupid Malaysians. Everyone will start clapping. So you started comedy where? Boston?
Yeah, I did in Boston. Just for a few months at Improv Boston was where I took a class and did some open mics there. Yeah, I was just there for a few months and then here in New York. And I'm glad I started in Boston because, I mean, technically, I started stand-up in New York back in 2009, but it was just a class and then the new talent show, and then I stopped for like 3 years because this new talent person came to class and told us, don't do open mics, they'll just suck your soul, just do my bringer shows.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so I quit.
Wait, do you know what that bringer show is?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah, so I quit after like 4 shows because I ran out of friends. Like, there was like 100 people because he made you bring like a lot, like 20 people or something like that. And you know, everyone's so enthusiastic. Your first show, you have like 50 people come to your first show, and then you're like, "Oh no, I need to spread you guys out."
Well, you need to be in front of strangers. I mean,
it's this idea for the audience. It's this idea that to get on a lot of they do it in New York a lot, where to get on stage, they say you can do like 10 minutes on the show, but you have to bring 10 people or 20 people or whatever it is. And a lot of people start that way, but as you said, you run out of friends.
You run out of friends. So I quit comedy because I was like, "Well, all right, I'm out of people. That means I have to stop." Like, I didn't know there was another way. I was like, "How do people do this?"
Oh my gosh!
And then I go to Boston. And I was just dying in my consulting job. I was like hating it and feeling like, you know what, there's more to me than stupid Excel spreadsheets and PowerPoint. I'm going to do a stand-up comedy class. So I go to class, and the first day of class, the teacher gives us the list of open mics in Boston. He's like, go do them. I was like, oh, I thought they suck your soul. He's like, it's the only way you're going to get better. Yeah. And I discovered, though, that Boston open mics are pretty supportive. Like, comics will laugh and stay for one another and support. Because after my few months in Boston, I came to New York, and I did the Laughing Buddha open mic. And afterwards, I was like, oh, man, this mic was rough. And the comic was like, this is the most supportive mic we have in New York City. I was like, oh, shit. So I'm glad I got my teeth. What's what? Your teeth wet? No, your feet wet.
Feet wet.
You can get your teeth wet, too.
Your teeth cut. That's what it is. No, that's good. I know. When I moved here a year and a half ago, whatever that was, I did 3 open mics. Because I was like, I was getting bar shows and stuff. But I was like, before the bar show, I'll just go do an open mic. Mm-hmm. And it was a disaster.
Yeah.
I did 3, and then I'm like, I'm never doing those again. Even other cities around America, though, they're good.
Oh, they're much better. You're
and
right.
And yeah. I actually did one in Singapore.
Oh, those are amazing. They're like a show.
There was like 80 people, 100 people. It was packed. Everyone's killing.
Everyone paid for an open mic. Audience paid for a fucking open mic.
Yeah. So do you go, now you go back and do stand-up there?
Mm-hmm.
How's that?
Yeah, I do need to modify my material because a lot of the American references they're just not gonna get. But then on the flip side, I can do some more localized stuff that I couldn't do in America, like stuff that I would know a local would get. So pros and cons. I mean, the bulk of my material has been developed in America, so I would prefer if I could just like pick one up and take it to the other location and just. Yeah. Have it destroyed, but no, there's some work to be done to customize it for Singapore, as any other country or even city, I guess. Even going to San Francisco, I was so surprised that, oh, the closer that kills in New York City just dies in San Francisco. I'm like, why? You guys are both liberal democratic cities. There's no reason why I should go any...
San Francisco is a whole different level.
Is it?
I think of liberal city.
Yeah, I guess so.
Do you find people like ooh?
They ooh a lot.
A lot of oohs.
Yeah. You noticed that
Oh,
too?
We were there at the same time a few weeks ago, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I actually
called them out. I was like, what? Why are you guys so ooh-y? You guys like, ooh, everything.
They get upset by everything.
By everything.
Right. Yeah, it was the same.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, even stances that you share with them. Like, do you understand that this joke is your point of view? But
And I noticed that whenever anyone was not having a good set on the show I was on, they would just immediately be like, yeah, but so Trump's an idiot. And everyone would be like, yay. And no. Then like,
that's too funny. But by the end of my so I was there for like 9 days. And I was getting a bit thrown off by the PC-ness. But I think by the end, I don't know what happened. Maybe I decided, well, for my last show, maybe I was like, I don't give a shit. It's my last show here. I'm going to go all New York on these people. But afterwards, my friend was in the audience and said, you know, I noticed that all the other comics who were Californian comics, they were all towing the line. And you just came in with your New York style. You're just like, I don't give a shit what you guys think. But she's like, it's as though you kind of broke them after a while. Like, at first, you're kind of owey.
Yeah.
But after a while, they were just like, all right, you know, we're on board. Because I had a headliner set, so I had more time to break them and get them to my style.
Just confidence,
just
right?
Just confidence, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I don't care. So what's it like in Singapore? Who's, like, what's the racial... Because there's all different races. Are the Chinese? Whenever I travel around Southeast Asia, are you Chinese?
I'm Chinese.
What does it say? Descent? Is that the term?
I think that's accurate.
Yeah. Are your parents from China? Or it's like way back?
No, I think maybe my grandparents came to Singapore from China. So my parents were born in Singapore.
But they always say that when you travel around Southeast Asia, that like the Chinese people are always the rich people.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Is that true? Why is that? How'd that happen?
I think we're more hardworking.
There you go.
I mean, my Chinese name means needs to be hardworking. Like, that's what my parents named me, so.
What's your Chinese name?
Bi Zi.
Bi? Oh, okay.
Bi Zi. Bi Shi is need to be, and then Zi is part of Zi Zi Bu Juan, which means always working.
Isn't it also nose?
It also sounds like the word for nose, yeah. So I was always called nose growing up.
Oh, did? Oh, I apologize.
And I had a sinus problem, so I was always blowing my nose too. And I think I have a big nose, so it just didn't help my self-esteem when I was a kid.
Triple whammy. You really gotta like look at your kid's nose before
you name them. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's the moral of the story. But my parents don't speak Chinese, so they didn't even name my name. They gave a friend the task of naming their firstborn child her Chinese name.
They just get. Do you speak Chinese?
I do, but they don't.
Did you learn in school?
I learned in school.
How much different is like Singapore from like Shanghai, for instance, like as far as life and
as a city? Have you been to Shanghai? Or?
Not in a decade.
I mean, Singapore is just like so much further advanced than everywhere.
Oh, still, huh?
Everywhere else is like catching up now, but definitely the first time I went to Singapore, 2002, it was ridiculously different from everywhere else.
Yeah, because China was a developing country for a while. I mean, I don't even know if it still qualifies as a first world country by now. But
they call themselves still developing because of some loophole.
Got
I don't
it.
Know what it is.
They get money that
they
way.
Get something. Yeah.
Oh, from the IMF.
They want. Yeah, yeah. They want to make sure they're still known as developing.
I see.
How far into the Trump years are we going to become a developing country?
Until we go backwards.
That might be his plan to get us some
maybe
money.
It is. It's yeah, if we get down low enough, we'll start getting welfare.
Get from aid from Britain.
IMF. So what's okay, before we get to the news, anything do you have anything to promote? And then we'll do the news in a minute. What are your dates for January? We have a bunch of people who listen in Asia.
Dates for January?
Do you know, I mean, for your trip to
Asia. I only have that Bangkok one lined up and then February 1st to 3rd in Singapore. I'm going with an American headliner, actually, Clayton Fletcher.
I know the name.
Yeah, he'll be in Australia, so I got him to come over to Singapore as well. February 1st to 3rd will be our dates.
Cool. Where are you going to be?
At the new comedy club in Singapore. Have you heard of this one? Mary Lion.
I don't know.
It's the first full-time comedy club in Singapore.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Full-time.
Yeah. That was cool. The one that I was like, all right, should I submit as headliner? It was a full half hour. I was like, oh, I'll probably have to cut a lot of my American stuff. So now I'll just do feature for now.
Yeah,
I'll headline
cool.
next year.
Everything's so expensive there.
In Singapore?
Yeah.
No way. It's so cheap there compared to New York.
Really?
Yeah. Are you dining at the Fullerton?
I'm talking like a beer is like $17.
No way.
Yes.
Wow, that's expensive.
Oh. Do you not drink?
I don't drink beer.
Oh, that probably saves money.
I do cocktails.
Oh, well, that's expensive too, right?
Yeah, but men pay, so.
Oh, my gosh.
Because Asians are still more old-fashioned, I think, than Caucasians.
Asian men?
Asian men, yeah. They're much more have the values of men should pay on a date, etc. Like, a lot of white guys, they
don't
the
pay
whole,
on
like,
dates anymore
Dutch
in America?
Thing. Less so nowadays. I mean, I think
no, because it's like you got to. It's not PC
thing.
To pay.
Right, you're right.
I think that's how it was in California. Oh my God, this guy. He's like he just bought some $1 million apartment in San Francisco, And he took me out, and he suggested a French restaurant. And he knew I was a comedian. He saw that he saw me getting paid $50 for my one show in California. And then he made me split the check. I'm like, excuse me.
That's really woke.
If I know, that's what?
That's super woke.
That's really woke.
That's super woke. I'm like, excuse me. If I had split the check, I'd be like, let's go to Chinatown for some noodles. I assume you suggested a French restaurant because you're taking me on a date.
Right.
Oh. So is this like a Tinder date or something?
No, it was actually a guy I met in real life too. Friend of a friend.
Oh, wow. Really?
So even more, if it was a Tinder date, I understand. Like, we're both taking the risk, right? We're both assuming the risk.
Oh, I would have gone the opposite. I thought... I got married like 6 months before Tinder came out, or I started dating my wife, so I have no experience, but I would assume that's more
Tinder,
of a...
On Tinder, you actually went to like meals.
You, you thought you just met up and
yeah,
like...
that's right. You don't go straight to meals on Tinder. No, that's true.
Maybe breakfast the next, but yeah, I don't think
so. Okay, that's interesting. So then the Asian guys, they're less woke, is what you're saying.
They're more gentlemanly. Yeah.
That's the first thing about the woke movement I really agree with.
I can come around to this.
Yeah, I can.
This can be all middle. The pod can get involved in
being
woke. But
now that I'm married, I want guys paying. I don't want them to have this advantage over me having more money their lifetime because I'm not paying for drinks and dinners for years.
You're right. So.
And you know, this is my thinking because women have spent so much money on being a woman. Like with our haircuts are more expensive, yes. Our underwear is more expensive, our dry cleaning, our makeup, just our self maintenance, everything, right?
The whole waxing thing.
Yeah, exactly. So I think just to balance it out, because we look so good on a date for you, just pay for the fucking. Right.
I mean, so
I agree.
We're wearing
but...
a dry, clean shirt. Do we get? Does that count as for remember to wear shoes?
I'm with you, but tell it to the feminist movement. I'm not sure what they think.
Next time you see a guy in the street with a woke pin on his book,
male feminist.
I saw a guy today with a book, a pink book bag.
Yeah,
and it said and a woke pin, and I definitely know this guy.
He's definitely not paying.
No.
So yeah, you're gonna avoid that.
So I have to date guys who are 50, unfortunately.
Yeah, or Asian.
They're less woke.
Or Asian. Yeah.
30-year-old Asian boy. That's
there
perfect.
You go.
Yeah,
that's pretty Jewish good. Guys definitely woke up for this on this idea.
They're on board.
On board
immediately. The male feminists are coming out.
So
all right, sounds good. Let's get to the news.
Yeah, sounds good.
With Joss and Tria. We were just talking about dating. Once the mic turned off, we started talking about dating in China. So I was saying, you were asking me about dating. I lived there for 9 years before I met my wife. And then the last 3 years I met my wife. But you were saying that you had boyfriends in like high school in Singapore as a Chinese Singaporean. Is that the term or what's the term? Just Singaporean?
Sure, just a Singaporean.
Just Singaporean. But the Chinese kids in China did not date. I was saying they didn't date even in college.
They're
That's
not allowed.
Crazy.
They were not allowed to date in college.
They were not allowed to date in college.
They were definitely not in high school because I got there. I taught high school kids my first year. Mm-hmm. And I was like, just for some like exercise I was doing like the first day of class, I was like, all right, raise your hand if you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And just for like something that I was going to talk to him about. Oh. And no one raised their hand. And I was like, what's wrong?
Did I get this? You just had a class full of losers.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I was like, that's a full nerd class? Like, what happened? And then they were like, oh, like some of us, we're not allowed to, like if our teachers... Or if any of the principal school's teacher finds out, like we'll have to break up or something
what?
Like that.
That's crazy.
Our parents wouldn't be happy.
What? Because they need to focus on their studies?
I guess. Yeah.
That was what my excuse was in high school.
You focus on.
I told them. That's why. I focus on my studies. In Syracuse.
Allentown, Pennsylvania is not allowed.
Not allowed.
Oh, I was there.
You were in my local paper, actually.
I was?
Oh, yeah. Didn't your mom send
my
it
mom
to you?
Said, so she,
before
mom,
we even knew who you were.
My mom was like, oh, she would be a good guest on your podcast. She read the article. You were in the local paper.
So you can thank...
So we do have an intern, actually.
We can thank Mrs. Kaplan for...
oh, wow, for having me as a guest.
Your PR representative.
On the morning call. You were like on the front page of the art section or something.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. I'm more famous than I thought. I was in Allentown, Pennsylvania's front page. That's cool.
Yeah. Once you make it in Allentown, you can make
can
it anywhere.
Please tell my parents this. They'll be so proud.
Yes. How many lawyers have been on the front page of the Allentown
morning.
Newspaper?
Was it the
you
morning
have to, like,
call?
Defend OG or something.
The morning caller?
Morning call, yeah.
Morning call. I've made it, Mom and Dad.
We were once named the worst town in America. There's like at least
really?
300 cities in America ranked by, I think, Money Magazine. And we were named 300th.
Wow.
And Allentown's reaction wasn't to, like, we should maybe make our town better. It was instead to take out an ad campaign against Money Magazine.
No
like,
way.
Like, there was, like, a big billboard on the highway, and it was, like, time is money, but money isn't time. As if, like, it's
that's
not
like what
time
Kazakhstan did when the Borat movie yeah. came out.
Really?
They, like, boycotted Borat.
Yeah.
As opposed to just making Kazakhstan. You're the yeah. Kazakhstan yeah. of America.
We also once, that you know the Billy Joel song, Allentown?
No.
Oh, that's our oh main claim to fame. But if you listen to the lyrics, they're actually pretty depressing. It's like we're living in Allentown where they're closing all the factories down.
Yeah. It's-
so they actually once rewrote the lyrics to be much friendlier, and they wanted Billy Joel to come perform it at some, like, anniversary of our town. And then they got really mad when he just said, no, I'm not going to do that. So anyway.
All yeah, right.
Kazakhstan. I have this one friend from Uzbekistan, and his gripe is that everyone knows Uzbekistan as, oh, that country in Borat. He's like, first of all, wrong country.
Oh, that's even worse.
It's a fictional character.
It's even worse.
It's a double
if you're mistaken for a bad country. So then, so you said you didn't date much in Singapore. Right?
I had 3 boyfriends in Singapore.
Oh.
Now I know.
I'm doing
the work.
All Chinese?
All Chinese, yeah.
So they weren't woke enough. They paid.
They did.
The first one where he didn't pay, I scolded him. Oh, I was like, what's wrong with you? How come you're not paying? He's like, oh, I thought you wanted to pay. I'm like, no, I don't.
I think it's like first date. I don't know. Back in my day, first date, definitely guy pays. Maybe even first few.
Sometimes the girl would offer to, like, afterwards, after dinner, to buy a drink the next place you go.
Oh, yeah.
That's the
sure.
move, the nice move. And you say no, or you say, well, maybe, depending on how it's going, maybe you accept. I don't know.
No, if it's going well, you don't accept. If it's not going well, then you accept.
If it's not going well, you accept. You're like, I might as well cover somebody else.
Exactly.
I might as well get a buzz on.
Okay. Oh, if the guy doesn't pay, I assume he's not interested.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, then I'm like, okay, then you won't get your money. But you don't want to spend more money.
Because then it's more like a meeting.
That's like a meeting. Yeah, it's like a business meeting. Yeah.
Do they like
a networking event?
Do you think they split it where they're like, the guy's like, well, I'll pay, but you can Venmo me this now? Is that what they do?
You can,
like,
Venmo me?
Do you guys do that?
Millennials, how they do
oh
this.
Oh my God.
Probably.
This sucks all the romance out of it.
But yeah, were you paying in China when you were single?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, the white guy dominating China, as we were just discussing.
Yes. Off the air, I think we were talking about that, right?
Has to be paying for it, at least.
That would be weird for a Chinese girl to go have a white guy that he makes her pay. She'll be like, why am I going out with you?
Oh, there's a lot of dirtbag white guys out there.
Really? What did they do?
Like, guys who just were doing nothing here and so then go there to teach English, which is how I started. But not that's not how
right,
I finished.
You didn't go on the expat
that's your growth
package.
As a
no, I did
your
not go on.
Condominium
there was no
swimming
package.
Pool.
No. There was not any package for me.
Chauffeur.
So you're saying they don't actually have any money? Because they pretend maybe or like
no, they don't even pretend. They literally just think, as you were saying off the air, but that, like, being a white guy in China has, like, its benefits of you could probably date a lot
or
whatever.
Yeah, I was asking, why did you settle down in China?
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of guys who
scolded
just
him, you could
they just live off of that. They just, like, coast. And so they'll go on dates. Like, the girl will be, like, really dressed up. And then, like a Chinese that girl. And the white guy's wearing, like, a corn or, like, Limp Bizkit sweatshirt or something. And because people also live in whatever time it was when they left America.
Yeah, I can see that.
So your some guy who left in 1999 is going to be with, like, a backwards mesh hat on. And it limp
so if
shirt.
I move to China, I can bring all my old Oasis gear. I can wear it. And
exactly. Yes. All right. First news story of the week. We keep trying to get
We're
the
never
news.
Getting to the news.
From Singapore.
Oh, yeah.
This is from the Straits Times. Are you familiar?
Of course, yeah. I wrote an op-ed for them.
You did?
I did.
Oh, maybe you wrote this.
It's like it's the gay times.
I don't know. What's the stereotype of the Straits Times?
That was the only news.
I get it. Straight gay.
Straight gay.
No, the Straits is like the waterway, right?
Oh, they give it to you straight, it means. Oh, no, it's a waterway.
Like that. Straight.
Oh, but
is this like, what is this? Like the New York Times or like the USA Today?
It's like our New York Times, I would say. It's our national newspaper.
All the Singapore news fit to print.
All right, well, this is this is from a speech by former President Dr. Tony Tan.
Mm-hmm.
You familiar?
Yeah, he used to be our education minister.
And then he became the president.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Look at that.
Be vigilant against foreign entities that use fake news to pit Singaporeans against one another, says former President Tony Tan. So they have fake news. They have CNN in Singapore as well, I guess. Fake news?
Yeah, we do.
Is there a fake news problem going on in Singapore?
Hmm.
I think it's just that people are using, in other countries, using Trump as to get out of. Like, I saw in Libya, there was, like, CNN International had a thing on the slavery situation.
Okay.
And then some Libyan government official was like, oh, that's fake news. It's CNN. Yes. Like, they're stealing Trump's bit. He's giving them cover.
Exactly.
For, like, dictators and
politicians. Everyone's doing Trump's material.
Yeah.
They did it in China, too. They started, like, the president started saying, like, fake news.
No way. Everyone.
How do you say fake news in Chinese?
I don't know. How would you say it? News is like...
新闻 is news. Fake.
新闻. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Fake would be... 假. 假的新闻.
假的新闻. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
假的新闻.
假. Yeah. Okay, 假的新闻. But they just... I think they even say it in English. So like, oh, 今天这个是 fake news. Rahul. 明天也是 fake news. 都是 fake news.
Oh, man. I love how Trump has just completely changed our vernacular. Alternative facts was the first one that came out. They just made it our vernacular and now it's fake news.
Yeah, you're right. Alternative facts. And then everyone's like using it as a punchline. Right. But the whole thing, the fake news was like... I think I've said this before, but Norm Macdonald used to, that's how he used to start the news on Saturday Night Live in the 90s. He's like, ladies and gentlemen, now the fake news.
Right. And so that Trump, was like real fake news.
Yeah. It was actual fake
actual
news.
Fake.
Trump stole it from
Trump
Norm.
Trump stole it from Norm.
Oh, he stole it from Norm. Oh, what a heck.
At least he steals from a good comic.
If I was Norm Macdonald, I would be like going around the world saying that to everyone. Yeah. He doesn't seem to mention
like,
it.
Trump get Norm stole on the pod, my we'll... joke.
So what's the fake? What's like, is there two, are there two news? Is there like a CNN and then a, like a Fox News of Singapore, or is it just actual CNN, CNN Asia?
Huh, I mean, there's a, what is it? Channel News Asia, CNA. So that's the more regional news outlet.
Fake.
we don't like them.
I love it. And then there's the local television station with the Channel 5 News.
Total fake.
This guy's total, fake. Total fake and more fake.
Wrong.
Terrible ratings. Loser. Sad.
This guy says the spread of fake news and misinformation threatens Singapore's domestic and foreign policy. But he's most. I think he's mostly talking about Facebook.
Oh, he's talking about Facebook?
Yeah, he's saying that like the Russians are going into American Facebook. Someone's going into Singaporean.
Who's the enemy?
I don't know. Is it China Malaysia? Or like Malaysia?
Malaysia's too lazy for that. We just
yeah.
They don't have the internet in Malaysia. That's how I would do a local joke, right? Next news story.
Editing that one out.
From the Daily Mail.
All right.
Madeline Entine is suing Ohio State University under the Americans with Disabilities Act after the school said she is not allowed to have her service dog living with her in her sorority house. She claims to suffer panic attacks, and the dog Corey calms her down, she says. I don't. Do you have a service dog?
No.
What do you think about service dogs? Do they have them in Singapore?
For the blind people, sure.
No, but just for like people who
like
are
therapy dogs.
They get nervous sometimes.
The panic attacks.
Oh, the emotional support dogs.
Exactly.
Right?
That's what this girl sued her university because they said she's not allowed to have the dog in her sorority house. But the problem is the school. The school made her leave the sorority house because another student in the house is allergic to dogs and claims that the dog aggravates her Crohn's disease.
Oh, my God.
So basically
like the
everyone.
Battle of the
like all these
sensitive
college
white
kids.
People.
Exactly.
I mean,
like
Jesus, in a sorority house. This is what's going on in sorority houses now. God, everything's falling apart.
Yeah. Everyone's just like, but I, everyone's
we
just
need
like,
to bring back hazing. Yeah. This is what happens when you don't haze pledgees anymore.
Yes.
I was a sorority girl.
You were?
Sorority. Yeah.
What were you in?
Kappa Alpha Theta.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Did you haze?
No, actually.
Did you?
By
did
some
anyone,
of the stories did I hear?
Did any, was there a competition to see who had the most annoying disease?
No. I was very. I mean, the most we had was anorexia.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. And bulimia.
That's why guys pay for dates.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's why. I mean, you want. I guess on one level, you want a sorority girl who's like having panic attacks.
Wait, why do you want that?
Seems like a good catch. I don't know. It seems. I mean, she likes dogs.
When
I
was,
I like this girl.
When I was on the flight back here from Sacramento a couple weeks ago, and there was like, it was like an hour line to go through security, and everyone's freaking out, and then they came around with this service dog, so people could pet it to calm down about being in line.
Serious?
I swear to you, yeah.
Did it work?
Did
I bet
it
worked.
Adults.
It did. Everyone chilled out. Like, immediately.
Everyone chilled out.
The lady
amazing.
Was like, "We're sorry about the wait. Here's a dog, and it had like a vest on." And
isn't
like,
it a bomb sniffing dog or something?
Like, I don't know.
Was there one of the?
It was called. It was like this is our new program called BARK. Like it stood for like I don't know. I forget what the acronym was, but it was something about like while you're waiting, you can pet it to relax.
Oh my God, that's so good. What's a genius idea? They probably get so much less complaints because of that.
Yeah,
I should make money off pancakes this way.
Yes, you should.
My
take
dog,
your dog
is this little Maltese Yorkie thing, and she is cute. Super cute. And I could take her
to sorority houses.
Oh my God. Let me bring pancakes to sorority houses.
Pancakes.
But if I brought her lines, and people are waiting in lines, and they're going to go aggravated,
I'd pay $5
and
to pet my dog.
Me to pet their dog. Yeah.
Your wife named pancakes, right?
Yes.
No self-respecting Jew would name a dog pancakes.
I think man.
They didn't name it bacon and pancakes.
No, she's one of those dogs where you obviously you probably it's either a girlfriend or. Wife must have picked the dog out. She's
totally.
Like,
but she's tiny.
She's a tiny little thing, but she likes to take on pit bulls though. She's got a complex. She thinks she's a big dog, but
pimples?
Pitbull. She liked to...
Pitbull. Is this pimple. A pimple-extracting dog?
Ooh, another great billion-dollar idea.
Do you... are there Jews in Singapore?
I never met one.
No.
I mean, it's like the banking capital of the world, isn't it?
Yeah, so there's got to be. Tapes?
I'm sure there's a lot.
Yeah, there's got to be. But I left at 18, so in my school, no.
Oh, they come later.
They come later.
They're not a big bar mitzvah scene.
They're not there at age 18. So the final decision with this was that the school, the federal judge, they got a federal judge involved.
Wow.
Only a sorority house would, like the parents of these sorority girls, would pay, would go all the way to the
top. She could live off campus. She doesn't have to live in the sorority house.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
They can make rules, but it's, I don't know if the
it's
school
not a form
make
of discrimination
rule. The sorority
at all.
House should make the rule, right? I mean,
I the judge probably sided with the sorority, you know?
What do you think?
Oh, it's like,
I'll tell you what happened.
A legal expert. So I think,
oh yeah, yeah, what would you do in this situation?
I would side with the sorority house because there's no legal discrimination here.
So the federal judge's ruling issued Friday. A federal judge's ruling issued Friday blocks Ohio State University from ordering the dog out of the Chi Omega sorority house.
But maybe the sorority is okay with it. It's the Ohio State's rules, I guess.
No, it's, and the girl with Crohn's disease. Listen, you're going to have Crohn's disease no matter what, whether the dog's there or not, right?
Yeah, I don't even know what Crohn's disease is, so
I think it's where...
gastrointestinal disease.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah,
so. Doctor, too. There should be a sorority house dog.
Yeah, a house dog.
What was
so the judge is not letting Chi Omega kick the dog out.
Exactly.
And
the
so
dog
the girl
gets to
with Crohn's has to just...
She's got to go.
...suffer.
Yes.
She's got to go.
Exactly. Last story of the week. Back to Singapore.
I hope I know this.
Yeah. Ooh, this is from the Today Online. Do you know that one?
Yeah.
Is that a reputable source or fake news?
It's a smaller newspaper than the Straits Times.
Okay, so we'll see.
We'll see.
Is it MSM?
A 54-year-old man who groped a stranger twice, even though she was with her boyfriend, was sentenced to 9 months in jail on Tuesday.
Wait, that's not a cannibal?
Cool. I guess he didn't get caned. I would cane him, but Effendi Mohammed Noor committed the offense at Walla Walla Bar. Do you know that bar?
Yeah.
You do?
I do. It's in Holland Village.
At Holland Village in the early hours of June 10th.
Holland Village?
It's a neighborhood.
Walla Walla Bar. I'm going to go.
It's a party place.
Yeah.
a lot of Australians hang out there, I hear.
Straight dudes?
Australians.
Australians.
straight dudes.
You sounded really excited when I said that.
Straight dudes. Really straight I'm into straight guys. We talk a lot of football, high fives,
yeah,
the whole thing.
You do some groping.
Eat tacos.
Exactly. So the victim, a 25 years old, who cannot be named due to a gag order, was with her boyfriend on the second floor of the bar watching a live band. Seated behind the couple, the man strode up and placed his hands on the victim's thigh and was shoved away and yelled at. The couple did not pursue the matter, thinking Effendi, the man, was drunk. An hour later or so, he did it again. Then they called the police, and he got 9 months in jail.
Wow.
And now his HBO special is coming out.
Ask, 9 months for touching her legs?
Yeah, in front of her boyfriend, which is like the headline.
I was going to say, if you were with your boyfriend and some guy, like, touched you, right?
I think the boyfriend just beat him.
Yeah, that's
up,
what I was
right?
gonna say.
Break up with his boyfriend for not protecting you.
Settle like, it the old fashioned way.
He's super woke and he doesn't believe in fighting over your.
He must be Malay.
I guarantee they split the bill at the end of this.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's 25. He's the millennials.
What self-respecting boyfriend just sees someone do that and then calls the cops?
Yeah, especially unless the guy is much bigger and then you're like, shit.
No, they showed a picture of him. He's like a frail 54-year-old. Like,
oh,
just
you're easy target. You can impress her. You can beat the crap out of some guy. You can do whatever. You can.
Exactly.
You don't have to pay for the meal if you beat the guy up. You get out of it, too.
True.
I don't know.
I guess she wants this guy more than he wants her.
Yeah.
Maybe. Well,
sometimes there's a power dynamic in a couple, right?
Exactly. So the maximum penalty for molestation is 2 years in jail.
So there's no there's no caning for molestation.
Apparently not. No. What is it in America? Do you know?
I don't know. For molestation?
Oh. Or for like, what would you,
like
is it
fine?
Anything? Yeah, I know, to go to someone in a bar in front of their boyfriend and grab him. I think it's what you said, just getting your ass kicked. That's the penalty, right?
I think that's the penalty.
Getting
Does
a bottle.
Happen a lot in America?
Street justice.
I mean, I know it happens in Hollywood all the time, but
walk
up in the Hollywood bars. But you just walk up to somebody and
Yeah, what would happen? Okay, let's see if you get your butt grabbed in the subway.
Yeah.
Is this punishable? I don't know. I'm sure it's punishable.
I have no idea.
Yeah, but I can't imagine.
You get an expose in the New York Times.
Yeah. All right, right.
And get a move three picture deal. And
yeah.
I've had my butt grabbed in the subway.
Three picture deal.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not.
Huh, I'll look it up. See what's the punishment. That's probably something, but it's probably more like a slap on the wrist. Not 9 months jail.
It should be nine months.
Actually, they posted on the subway. It is definitely but it's hard because it's really hard to prove on the subway unless you're really, because it's like very easy to, everyone's all bumped together, right?
Yeah.
You got to be able to prove the person literally did it on purpose, right?
Right.
Someone has to witness it.
Yeah.
Because you could easily have an accidental grab, I think.
Yeah, and I think you can prove it when it's.
He's building his defense.
I'm trying to get my phone out of my pocket. I
did have one guy kind of just brush against my shoulder with his body, and I was like, and there was a lot of space around me. So I was like, that's a little weird. And then a girl came out to me and said he did that to me too. I was like, oh, fucker, he's doing to all these girls. And then he did to me a second time and I just punched him.
Really?
Yeah, that's, so that's a fucking punch.
This guy here can learn.
I know, loser. He could learn from me.
And what did he do when you punched him?
I punched him and then he walked up and I started giving chase. I didn't even know why. I started giving chase. I think I was just going to take him down or something in my mind. And then my train came. I was like, oh shit, well, I'm late for yoga, so I better go. Well,
you were on the platform?
Yoga after.
I was on the platform.
How many people roll into yoga after punching some guy in the subway?
I'm such a New Yorker, right? Say something, do something, unless I'm late for yoga. Yeah. I got to go.
See something, say something. Not see something, do something.
But I did something.
Yeah, that's good. Obviously, that's better.
You're not supposed to punch them, actually. This is a report to the police.
But also, he could be, what if these people are just trying to steal your wallet? Now they go to prison for 9 months for groping, you know.
Well, they shouldn't be stealing wallets either.
Right.
It's true.
Yeah.
This is why I don't get even on. If I see anybody else on the subway train, I just wait for the next car. It's too risky. I don't want to
wait for an empty.
I don't get punched for accidentally bumping into someone.
9 months seems very extreme though for touching some legs.
He did it twice though. do a picture?
He goes back to the scene of the crime.
Yeah.
There's a picture. We'll find it. We'll tweet it.
Yeah, let's send out his legs. Let's see if
it's an old guy. All right, that's the podcast. Joss and Chia, thank you for doing it.
You're welcome. Pleasure. Yeah. Very fun.
Cap, what should we do?
I'm going to get lost and I'm probably not come back.
Episode 60.
Yeah.
Tonight.
You might never see me again. This is live podcast. I might,
Tomorrow night.
Yes. Yeah,
so tomorrow night.
Will I show up?
Will Kaplan be there? Will he be sober? That's a definite no.
Definitely
Stand
no.
Up New York. No. We'll be there tomorrow night, 8 p.m., November 30th. Get your tickets. We'll see you there.
Get lost.
On a little street in Singapore, we'd meet beside a lotus-covered door. A veil of moonlight on her lonely face. How pale the hands that held me in embrace. My sails tonight are filled with perfume of Shalimar and temple bells will guide me to the shore, and then I'll hold her in my arms and love the way I loved before. On a little street in Singapore,
hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.